You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first Tech Talk Radio for 2008. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. Well, the crew is well-rested and ready to take up where we left off last year. For those of you new to Tech Talk Radio, we're a talk show all about today's technology. Gadgets, internet, DVD, digital TV, consumer technology and software. You name it, we've got it. In other words, we'll help you get the most from the technology you use on a daily basis and help you in making the best decision when shopping for new technology. Politics is also part of the show. It's quite often a major factor in rolling out new technology, affecting what, when, and how we embrace technological change. And it's been quite evident in the past few months with the delayed switch-off of Telstra's CDMA mobile phone network. Tech Talk Radio panellists are experts in their fields. Our crew have detailed knowledge of telecommunications, broadcasting, home entertainment, mobile and fixed data networks, not to forget an underlying passion for the latest gadgets. Our show is nothing without our listeners, who usually become contributors in some form or another. So we encourage everyone to participate in the show via telephone, SMS or email. Visit our website techtalkradio.com.au for all the numbers. Now down to business.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra has been forced to delay the switch off of its CDMA network until April 28 this year because the government didn't feel the replacement NextG network was up to scratch. If you're a Microsoft Windows XP user and you're running a non-genuine version or you just forget to install the latest service packs, then you're one of the many in the sights of hackers. According to Bitfender, the majority of threats last month targeted a Microsoft Windows graphics vulnerability that was patched post-Windows Service Pack 2. More about this in the show. We'll also give you an update on the HD DVD Blu-ray war as HD DVD takes another blow. And Macworld 2008 was somewhat of a non-event compared to 2007, the showpiece this year being the ultra-slim, lightweight notebook. We'll take a look at the good, bad and the ugly from Macworld 2008. Also tonight, Firefox 3 Beta 2 is out. Watch out, AOL threatens to launch an Australian portal. eBay tweaks worry sellers. Foxtel to launch high definition, an Egyptian internet outage is a godsend to everyday Australians, and technology and banking take another step forward. There's all the usual segments, plus a new jargon-busting segment on Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with Tech Talk News.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week, on the first Tech Talk News for 2008, Microsoft sets its sights on Yahoo. Telstra sacks employee for sex romp. A single internet outage affects businesses from Cairo to Colombo. NASA gives the go-ahead for Space Shuttle Atlantis this week. And big changes afoot for eBay's buyer rating system. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The world's biggest software manufacturer, Microsoft, last week made an unsolicited offer to buy Yahoo Incorporated for $44.6 billion. The offer is seen as a challenge to the dominance of the world's leading internet search engine, Google. While Yahoo posted a 23% drop in fourth quarter profit last week, their shares rose 48% to over $28 after Microsoft's announcement. Unfortunately for Microsoft, however, its stock lost the most since 2006 as investors expressed disapproval for the takeover, falling 6.6%. Yahoo said that it planned to evaluate the proposal promptly. Yahoo's inability to crack Google's dominance in search has led to 8 straight quarters of declining profit. Watching from the sidelines, Google last week reported a 52% increase in fourth quarter sales growth, its 14th straight quarter exceeding 50%. In a controversial decision by the Industrial Relations Commission last week, Telstra has won the right to fire a female employee after an alleged incident outside of work hours which led to a sexual harassment investigation. The decision was made after Telstra appealed an earlier decision which required former employee Carly Streeter to be reinstated after she was sacked by Telstra for allegedly having sex on a motel room floor only metres away from three female colleagues. The alleged incident occurred in February last year after a belated Christmas staff party. Although the employees were upset by Ms. Streeter's conduct, an initial inquiry found her behaviour was not sufficient to constitute sexual harassment. A ship's anchor is being blamed for massive disruptions to internet access across the Middle East and Southern Asia after two submarine cables in the Mediterranean Sea were damaged last week. Affected countries include Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Yemen, Qatar, and Bahrain. The outage has had an immediate effect on the large call center industry in Egypt, and the telecommunications ministry there said production had dropped to 30% as a result of the outage. Head of the Australian Information Industry Association, Cheryl Moon, says that it's unlikely a similar incident would have as large an impact on Australian internet connectivity, which is much more diverse than that in the Middle East.
The cables running from Australia to the internet are quite diverse. They run from different capital cities around Australia. They run across the Pacific. They also run across the Indian Ocean, or they run, you know, north up through Asia. So, you know, Australia, given its geographic location, is served quite well because we haven't relied on laying pipes for the internet across a single destination.
Telecommunications authorities in the Middle East and Southeast Asia are appealing to users to refrain from running peer-to-peer file-sharing applications and for people to limit their internet use to normal web browsing and email. NASA has given the go-ahead for STS-122, Space Shuttle Atlantis, to launch on the 7th of February, as long as an issue with a radiator hose has been resolved in time. ITY last week reported that a routine inspection of the shuttle Discovery found one of its four radiator hoses to be deformed. The hose carries freon to the orbiter's radiators in its payload bay, and because of its faulty condition, was unable to be fully retracted. Engineers then checked Atlantis, which is scheduled for launch this week, and found that one of its four freon hoses was also bent. Engineers are now trying to determine if the braided metal hose will work as it should. The 11-day mission of STS-122 will be dedicated to delivering and installing the European Space Agency's new Columbus Laboratory onto the International Space Station. The laboratory will provide scientists with a variety of experiments in the physical, life, and materials science areas. Three spacewalks are also scheduled during the shuttle's visit to the International Space Station. And popular internet auction site eBay says it will be changing its user feedback system in an effort to keep buyers from leaving amid concerns over stagnating user numbers. While buyers and sellers have been able to rate each other with a number out of 5 stars since the site was commissioned in 1995, the new system will block sellers from leaving negative feedback for bad buyers. Buyers, however, will still be able to leave negative feedback for sellers. The shift will be implemented worldwide and was announced last week in an effort to stop buyers from being driven away by bad feedback. But the change has sellers worried that they'll no longer be able to draw attention to untrustworthy shoppers. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Google is going up for auction on the 700 meg band in the States. How does that compare with WiMAX?
It's not as though it can't do it, but what it can't do is it can't prioritise packets that are voice and need to be there.
So the breakup.
Next door, yeah.
The irony.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Now where's my fibre to the node?
Dr. Ron, they said you have to have a last name.
But I don't have a last name.
The sinister bit is that they've been collecting all this data to use on the new service without necessarily telling people what they were doing. And of course, that caused all kinds of unrest throughout the internet.
Many Australians don't watch the 6 o'clock news at night anymore. Many Australians don't read newspapers. Instead, they're getting online.
Well, I don't agree with that. The Coalition has a seamless, comprehensive program to deliver 21st century digital communications.
This is a big opportunity because Telstra and Coonan and Telstra and the Liberal government have been in like this stalemate for the last few months, if not years.
It wasn't a productive relationship.
No, it
was
not a productive relationship.
There seems to be some disapproval in the community about the sale of the rest of Telstra.
I think it's a great opportunity. Good. I'd be buying it with my ears pinned back.
Dropping the WWW, I'm interested in your thoughts.
I might be a bit of a strange anomaly.
Well, I'm a bit of a strange one.
Talk to me about PlayStation 3, Dr. Romlet.
Hey, happy birthday to Sony. Happy birthday to Sony.
One of the most difficult things is, as a technically knowledgeable user, to get through that first level of the help system at your ISP.
You've been looking at it purely from a technical point of view.
That's right.
I'm going to throw you an advertising point
of
view.
I'm a technician. What do you want me to do?
The Androids are coming. Did you know?
Androids?
Androids? Androids.
Take the TIO data, feed that back into your business systems and processes, and come up with better service for your customers.
Just a special cheerio to all the idiots out there who can't tell the difference between news and opinion.
Oh dear, I've done it now, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no.
No?
No.
Oh.
There'll be people going, what the hell are they talking about?
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
A very good evening. Welcome, everybody, to 2008 Tech Talk Radio. This is the fourth year.
Woohoo.
The fourth year of this, and we'd like to apologise everyone who wants to go out there and watch television at the moment and go, what do we do? Watch the telly, listen to the radio? Of course, you listen to the radio, listen to the stream. Dr. Ron can't be here this evening. He's been otherwise detained by himself. Graham and Adam are here. Gentlemen, how are you? How is your festive break? And I hope you're ready to vent, because I think there's a lot to vent about tonight.
Oh, there's plenty to talk about tonight. I'm good, Andrew. How have you been?
Oh, look, it's been just a wonderful festive occasion. So much so I can't remember much about it now.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's good. That's what happens with kids, isn't it? Yeah, it's just a blur. I got one that started school 2 days ago and has dropped me like a potato at the front gate of the school now. So, goodness me. Business as usual already. Anyway, Adam, what happened over Christmas? Anything exciting?
Well, mine started kinder yesterday, or this week.
So kinder?
That's exciting.
That's a big momentous occasion in the family, isn't it? First one?
First one at kinder, yeah.
And how's mum?
Good, yeah. He's in love and kinder every day. It's like, is it kinder day? Is it kinder day? Yeah. So that's a good sign.
It is a very good sign.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of kinder, let's talk about Telstra, shall we? Telstra being the... I'm really glad that Senator Conroy decided to wait for us to come back on air before he turned CDMA off. Because I'm sort of thinking there during the course of the summer break that this has got to be big, big news when Telstra do the big switch. So pity we're not on air for it. And then all of a sudden Senator Conroy said, hang on a minute, we'll wait till the 28th of April.
Telstra must have been delusional if they actually thought that they were going to be allowed to turn it off when they said they would.
You reckon?
Yeah. There's no way it was going to happen.
The cockies out in the country were getting a bit upset about a lot of things. It just wasn't working for them. So
you didn't need to be Nostradamus to see that coming.
And, of course, the spin department, Jeff Booth, Managing Director of Countrywide, he's been out there trying to sell his all the good things that the next G is, which it is. I heard him on radio across the course of the break, and in essence what he was saying theoretically was true, but unfortunately the weakest link in mobile communications is the handset, and that's what I think was letting down the network in a big time.
Is he the guy you had on the quoting last year going, it's not the handset? Who was that guy?
Don't know.
Because I got news for him.
Could have been.
It's the handset.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I've been talking to people who've asked me about the handsets, I said, well, you know what it's like when you drive out and especially if your car's parked in the garage and your antenna's down on the thing, you put your hand on the antenna of the car to pull the antenna up in the morning. What do you hear when you put your hand on the antenna of the car? Nothing. It just attenuates absolutely everything so that you get absolutely nothing in the car radio. And that's what happens with these mobile phones. Us city slickers, we're lucky because there's a base station sort of out the window around the corner, not very far from us. And of course, you can put your hand on the phone because the antenna is built into the telephones these days and it works. But unfortunately, when you're a bit further afield, a bit further away from the base station, it's not that way at all.
But the amazing thing was that Telstra introduced this blue tick system to say that a phone's suitable for use in the regional area. Now, they didn't do that until July. And then they came along with the country phone, which has a pull-out antenna, just like a lot of the old phones.
Now, the old bricks.
Phone didn't appear until November. So what possibly made them think they'd get away with switching off CDMA in January?
And how would you feel if you're a customer who'd bought a phone prior to the blue tick system coming out, even if the blue tick system is better? Like, it's good in theory, but in practice, well, I don't think they're hearing that out there in the bush.
Well, Conroy said that they've got to give free upgrades to people who don't have the right phones.
Did he? Well, yeah. That's very nice of him.
Hang on. I can't remember the exact quote, but that was basically it.
Oh, dear. Hopefully this is what Mr. Conroy had to say.
This has been a tough decision. We've had a lot of report, a lot of angst, a lot of people
potentially adversely affected. But we believe we found a way to try and solve those issues and ultimately ensure that Telstra are providing the services that they said they would be able to provide when they announced that they were going to close down one network and introduce the new network.
And potentially they're not doing that as of yet, providing the same service that they provided to all and sundry. So that was what Mr. Conroy said probably about 2 weeks ago, I think, wasn't it?
When it all happened? That'd be about right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then of course we had Jeff Booth, who's the managing director of Telstra Countrywide, and they were going to come out and talk to him about the issues with the network, and really just how many issues there were. No one seemed to know, but that's what Jeff was asked.
And there are a range of issues which may occur. They may have the wrong SIM card in there, a 2G SIM card in a 3G phone. They may have the phone settings wrong. They may not be dealing with a like-for-like type setting, you know, car kit versus car kit. So the only way we can really resolve this, and we want to work with the government, and we certainly want to work with those few remaining customers, is to get out there in the field with the customers and look at the exact experience the customers are having.
And yeah?
Yeah.
That raises an interesting point. One of the things that Conroy said when he had a go at, when he said in January they can't extend it, was replace handsets at no financial penalty in genuine cases. But the other thing he did was have a go at Telstra for not training the people in the shops properly, because yes, Telstra staff are selling people the wrong phone. If you've got the wrong SIM card, if you've got the wrong thing, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
Yep.
And so they said that they need to have, what was it, minimum optimal training or something, or some ridiculous tautology like that. That's not a tautology. Some ridiculous thing that's like, of course they should be trained properly. That's the thing. People are getting bad advice from the Telstra shop.
It's a fairly, you'd think it'd be a fairly easy sort of process to educate your staff, the frontliners in particular, about new technology.
Not when they're running late for Year 9 sport.
Well, and the other thing is that as Adam said, even though the phones have been out for a while, things like the specialised country phone, car kits, specialised equipment for people that have got like fixed location equipment and so on, where the new equipment just hasn't been available for long enough for people to be able to change over to it.
Yes. And, of course, the big issue is, too, that a lot of farmers and people in the outback are saying, look, the phones just aren't working, hence that's this right. Blue tick sort of scenario.
And you can't train people to sell the right thing if the right thing isn't available.
No. Anyway, here's a bit more from Jeff from the spin from the PR department.
The phones work right across Australia at the very fringe of the network. Some customers, and these are the ones that the minister referred to as genuine, some customers might have been getting a better performance on an old CDMA handset than they are on a handset that they currently have. And these are the customers that we want to hear from. And that they're the ones that we've been working with for the last 12 months to get to. So, you know, there are 2 million customers on this NextG network, and it is a city-to-country network. So you can't sort of say, well, you know, if I buy a family sedan and I take it out to the bush and I can't drive through the scrub, I want a replacement on the family sedan. I want you to give me a four-wheel drive. And that's why we want to hear from those customers who genuinely are not getting the same, genuinely, as the minister said, are not getting the same service. We built this NextG network on exactly the same frequency as the old CDMA because we wanted to pick up the CDMA Network Plus. Now, some networks that other carriers have built, 3G networks, are built on higher frequencies which don't travel as far. You know, so some of the city networks will not travel to the same distance that the 850 frequency will work. So, yes, it's 3G, third generation technology, but it won't necessarily perform the same. We built this one specifically with all of Australia in mind.
Then why are they selling family sedans to people who obviously don't need family sedans?
Well, that's it, and that's the point you raised before.
I found the phrase, a minimum standard of excellence. How can you have a minimum excellence? Like, you can't have minimum excellence. Oh, it's kind of excellent. It's a little bit excellent.
Which bit's a little bit excellent is the question. But yeah, talking about handsets, like here's just a sample of some of the questions that were thrown up to Jeff Booth about the handsets, and a valid one too. We're talking about the 850 megahertz spectrum, which is the lowest you can go in mobile telecommunications. And it has some really nice characteristics, that band. It does get into buildings better than 2.1 gigahertz and the really higher frequencies, the ones that are three times the height or three times the wavelength of of the 850 network. And yeah, it does penetrate, goes over a hill a bit better, marginally.
Doesn't penetrate my kitchen.
Doesn't it?
I get call dropouts all the time in my house, and I live reasonably close to the CBD.
Yeah? You got a Faraday shield in your kitchen, have you?
I don't know, but I'm not happy.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other people in the same boat, Adam, that are not happy. Here's a typical caller to Talkback Radio in concerns of the handsets.
The number of handsets that are available from the suppliers, there's two or three, half a dozen big suppliers of handsets. They make handsets for a different 3G frequency, and Telstra only are utilising a frequency which only three other countries in the world or three other network providers are using throughout the world, which means that the manufacturers are making a limited number of handsets for this small organisation worldwide.
No, well, I think there's about 20 countries from memory and 20 networks, carriers, who are now using the 850 frequency, and it's really taking off around the world. And indeed, even our competitors are now looking at it very seriously and picking a very low frequency. We have more than 30 handsets on the market right now. Every major manufacturer is planning to make handsets, continue to make handsets in a full range of handsets, and I've seen them personally. We're releasing new handsets almost weekly. So, you know, what we're finding is that the manufacturers want to get onto this because it is groundbreaking and world acclaimed. So, you know, wherever there's a different frequency, manufacturers will make different handsets for sure.
Groundbreaking and world acclaimed. What, the 850 meg, that's been around for since the dinosaurs,
wasn't it? Next G is world acclaimed by Sol.
Well, yeah, it is actually. Yeah. He went around, wasn't that last year? He went around upselling it a little bit and everyone else said, settle, Sol.
Yeah.
There's a catch-22 situation there, though. Sure, there's not many 3G networks on the 850 megahertz frequency, but it's the right frequency for what they want to do with it. If it's going to do that job to replace CDMA to be a country and city network, that frequency is the right choice.
Now, if Mark was here, and he's not, he's in Boston at the moment building 4G over there for the North Americans as we speak, he would be saying that, yes, but it's the frequency is the same frequency that CDMA is currently on now.
That's right.
And they've reached capacity on both of them. So once they turn off CDMA, then they can have more channels or more phone calls per cell.
Yes, Mark's made that point very strenuously.
Yes.
And yeah, once they switch off CDMA, NextG should get a lot better.
Yeah, providing you can talk to the base station already. And
that's,
I think that's
a big leap of faith, though.
It is a leap of faith.
Well, the spin doctors would have you believe that. So, but anyway, that's sort of a bit about the upshot of where we're at with NextG. So I don't know what they're waiting for. What's the key for April 28? Whether they do a few more drive-bys and do some more tests and make sure that the cell doesn't drop out where it should do or something. But I think a lot of it's going to be based on feedback by Telstra users because they set up a special number where you can ring in and dob in a cell. And if you're not happy with what your coverage is on your property or something like that, I think Telstra's they're waiting for your call right now.
Yeah, so it's not going to be about the quality of the network. It's going to be about the number of complaints and the number of dissatisfied users.
Absolutely. All right, moving right along. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Adam Graham and myself, Andrew McComb, in this evening. Have a visit of the website, techtalkradio.com.au. We're flogging a new e-newsletter, which went out today for the very first time, replacing the old e-newsletter. We'd like everyone to go and sign up for it, and we'll send you an email each and every week and tell you what's on the show and a few other good little things that we're going to put into the newsletter from time to time. And how's the forum going, Graham, just quietly?
Forum's going great guns, yeah.
How's the clock?
Well, yeah, someone emailed me.
That was me.
Complaining that the clock was wrong. Now, I think what's going on there... Now, when
not
you
that this is breaking earth-shattering news, but I just thought, oh, the clock's wrong.
Well, it's probably an issue that other people have come across as well who've tried to use the forum. Were you looking at the clock before you logged in or after you logged in?
I have no idea. I think I just clicked... probably before. Oh, is this a trick question?
No. Well, but it's relevant to what time you might have seen. Because the forum actually operates in its underneath background part on UTC, on what we used to call GMT when we were...
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yes. And that's what this error looks like, because you complained at 9:50 that the clock said 10:50 p.m. the previous
evening. It was an hour out.
So that would be...
I thought it was
11 hours out.
Was it? Oh, there you go. I thought your Ubuntu machine hadn't coped with daylight saving too well or something.
It's a it's a Fedora machine, actually.
Oh, there you go.
I think what you were looking at was GMT time. Now, once you log in, you can set where what your time zone is wherever in Australia. This is so that we don't discriminate against people in Queensland or people in Western Australia on different time zone to where I am.
Oh, I'm glad I asked this question.
You can, once you've logged in, click on profile. and you can set what your time zone is so that the clock will be right for where you are.
Ah, good.
So
fantastic. I'm glad I asked that. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October, 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school. How can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had, again, had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking of the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service. Just on. How does it go? It goes.
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb here. Graham Kelly and Adam Turner in this evening for the very first show of 2008. Lovely to have your company. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is the email address if you'd like to send us an email, like some have this evening. I haven't really been watching the email. I've been too busy discussing things in here. So anyway, send them through if you've got them. If you're listening to us on the stream, hello to Brisbane, by the way. Switch 11 something or other. Was it 1137? 1197. I can't remember. Hello, Switch, anyway, in Brisbane. It's been absolutely lovely having you on board. And welcome to Tech Talk Radio, I guess. It's probably the thing to say about now. We're a bit of a tech show, which has been around for 4 years. We were just discussing. And yes. Come visit the website. Find out all about us and stuff like that. So, righto. Adam Turner has, when he went last year, he was contemplating turning to the dark side when we went off into the summer void that it was. And he's walked into the studio for the very first time this year, and he has not a silver but a black Macintosh on the desktop. So did you pass our best on to Luke when you saw him over there? how's it going, or shouldn't I ask?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. There's a couple of things to get used to. I had to play around with a MacBook Pro for a couple of months before Christmas to see, to test out Leopard, but also to see if I could do all the things I wanted to do on it before I handed over the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty much happy with it. There's a few things I've got to figure out. The main thing I was just looking for is better stability, because I'm just sick of fighting with XP and I have absolutely no interest in Vista. And I have found it to be pretty good, although a couple of times it's done some flaky things that I've never seen Tiger do. Now, I'm not an Apple expert, but I get the impression that it's not quite as baked as Tiger, and I think maybe there's still an update or two to go before it is.
Yeah, there's been some interesting things around about Leopard, the new OS that came out. There's a big patch, 10.5.1, that came out that fixed a lot of bugs.
Yeah,
and it was almost as big as the operating system was the first time around.
Maybe we need another one to get all of the bugs out. I mean, I'm still much happier with it than I was with my ThinkPad running XP.
Waiting for 10.5.2,
it's not... It's not absolutely perfect, and Tiger seemed to be pretty close to things. Like, I've had things crash and hang on this a couple of times, and my father-in-law's got a G5 running Tiger that he's had for like 4 years, and he's seen things crash on it twice or something like that. Wow. So I think it's, yeah, not quite. But that's the same with all operating systems when they first come along. Vista, you know, there's still having problems with it. I bet you in 12 months' time, Leopard will look much better than Vista did 12 months after it was launched.
Absolutely. Now, let's have a bit of a recap. You do a lovely segment for us on a regular basis called View from the Couch, and this is just before you're about to jump ship, and we'll come back and ask you questions afterwards.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
Renovate or move? It's the ultimate question in both real estate and computing. I live in a tiny house, and with a wife and two young kids, it's getting smaller every day. We know we need to do something, and we're trying to decide whether to extend the house next year or just sell up and buy something better elsewhere. At the same time, I've come to my wit's end with Windows. For work, I use a ThinkPad T60 notebook running XP. It does the job, but I'm getting sick of fighting with Windows. Like other Microsoft products, XP tends to be bloated and sluggish at times. Every now and then, it just grinds to a halt for no reason, even though I reinstall the OS every now and then. I reckon I waste about 30 minutes a day fighting with XP. I want something that just works. So, if XP is no longer up to the task, what are my options? Renovate or move. Renovating means upgrading to Vista. Now, my house is old and dodgy on a small block. No matter how much effort I put into it or money I spend on it, it's never going to be everything I want. There seems little point in sinking time and money into something that I'm never going to be completely happy with. That's also how I feel about Vista. Vista is always going to be a Microsoft product. It's always going to be bloated eye candy, and it's always going to be designed to suit Microsoft's needs rather than my needs. Despite Microsoft's transparent efforts to pretend it supports open standards, living in Microsoft world often means using proprietary Microsoft formats and getting stuck on the Windows upgrade treadmill. Enough is enough. It's time to move to greener pastures. So where do I go? Now, I live in a small house, but in a fancy suburb, so I've only got to move a few streets and I'll get a much bigger house for the same money. When it comes to my computer, if I'm leaving the land of Microsoft, then I need to choose between Linux and Mac, both of which harbour zealots who believe their platform is the one true God. Now, I'm not leaving Windows for philosophical reasons. I'm on a practical quest to find something that just works. I spent the last year gradually weaning myself off Microsoft software and moving to applications that run on Windows, Mac or Linux, such as Firefox for web browsing, Thunderbird for email, Audacity for recording audio, and FileZilla for uploading and downloading files via FTP. I knew this would make life easier when I started to experiment with other operating systems. I started off by installing a version of Linux called Ubuntu on my notebook alongside XP. The latest version of Ubuntu, 7.10, known as Gutsy Gibbon, has a lot going for it. If you know your way around Windows and you're not afraid to dip into the command line every now and then, Ubuntu or another easy-to-use Linux distro might be right for you. It can be a steep learning curve if you run into problems. Unfortunately, I ran into a few problems trying to recreate my standard XP desktop on Linux. Some of the problems were due to the fact I was trying to recreate my backup system on Ubuntu, and I was having trouble finding the right software for the job because the tool I used in Windows isn't available on Linux or Mac. Another was to do with hardware. Ubuntu randomly refused to recognize my USB devices, and I had a few networking issues. I get the impression that your opinion of Linux depends on your hardware. If everything works for you straight away, it seems great, but if it doesn't, you'll need to spend some time trawling the web looking for solutions. If you really want hassle-free computing, you need hardware and software that is specifically designed for each other. Obviously, we're talking about a Mac. Now, if I'm looking for something that just works, rather than making a religious statement, I need to be open to Mac as well as Linux. As such, I decided to try working on a 17-inch MacBook Pro for a week, running Apple's latest Cat Leopard, to see how it went. A week later, I'm sold, and I'm making plans to buy a 13-inch MacBook in the near future. Now, Mac users are smug bastards, but with good reason. Macs just work. Once I had all my software set up, it was easy to forget I was using a Mac because everything just worked and the operating system didn't get in the way. It's pretty hard to forget when you're working on Windows, because Windows is always slowing you down on getting in your way. I still had trouble getting my backups to work and finding a word processor I liked on a Mac, but I decided to kill two birds with one stone by switching to an online word processor. The more apps I can run in a web browser, the easier it is to switch between computers and operating systems. Of course, you need to always be online, but with the current mobile data price war, always being online is finally an option in Australia. I'm reasonably happy with Google apps for editing text and spreadsheets, but I haven't found an online calendar and email client that I'm completely happy with. The main problem is that online apps generally don't have good pop-up notifications compared to desktop apps. Unfortunately, I'm not completely happy with Thunderbird on the Mac for email either. So for the time being, I think I'll use the Mail and iCal desktop applications on the Mac, but I'll keep looking for a completely online solution. So, big changes are afoot for 2008. I'm ditching Windows, I'm ditching my tiny house, and I'm looking to make a fresh start in the promised land.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And the man who has ditched everything, apart from the house, I believe, is sitting here with the lovely little black little number in front of him here. So, smaller screen, you were saying. How's the fingerprints, just out of curiosity, compared to your old box?
You mean the fingerprints on the black casing?
Yeah, all that
not
sort of
too
stuff.
Too bad, but I'm still at that stage where I wash my hands after eating prawn crackers and stuff. There's like half a bag of prawn crackers on the bench today. I'm working, and I'll have two prawn crackers, and then I go over and wash my hands in the sink and dry them again, and that'll wear off.
It's a bit like when you buy a new car. You don't have anyone eating a car it's got that first 1,000, 10,000
Ks. It had that new Max smell when I took it out of the box.
It's got one of these glossy, shiny, reflective screens that all the new notebooks have got.
Which I, in theory, hate, but this one is surprisingly good because it's anti-glare glossy, which is like, you know, defies the laws of physics, but it actually seems to do a very good job. It's much more viewable outside than my ThinkPad was, but I'm sitting here with studio lights behind me, and it's surprisingly still easy to look at.
Well, I don't understand it, but I believe you.
I don't understand, but you can see it, yeah.
Yeah, I can.
You got to see it to believe it. It's an amazing screen.
And what about all the programs that you were talking about there? You didn't want to fight XP, you didn't want to fight Word, all that sort of stuff. You wanted to move across. How have you gone from porting from one platform to the other?
Well, not too bad. I've put Firefox on it. I've put FileZilla on it for FTP. I've put Audacity on it for audio, which most people go, but it's got GarageBand. But I fired up GarageBand and went, what? You know, and I know how to use Audacity. So I'll play with GarageBand later. But for the moment, I use Audacity to do my view from the couch. And so I tried to bring as many multi-platform apps with me as I could just to make life a bit easier. I did end up using Apple Mail for my mail because I wasn't happy with the way Thunderbird behaved on Leopard. And I've gone with iCal for the calendar. But at least they're a lot more, it's a lot easier to import files in and out of them than it is with the Microsoft stuff. So I'm still not trapped in the way I was with the Microsoft stuff. It's come with trial versions of Office for Mac, which I'm trying not to use because I didn't buy a Mac just so I could keep using Microsoft software. But I have found myself using it. I'm still actually using my ThinkPad because I was doing my tax the other day and that had Excel on it. And so I'm doing everything on the MacBook except my tax on the ThinkPad.
The proprietary software that you use your books on or something on there too.
Oh, no, I just use Excel. I'm the electronic version of Shoebox accounting.
Yeah, when are you doing tax for it? This time it's only February.
No, I'm doing last year's tax because I want to move house, which means I've got to show them a tax return to get the loan, which means maybe I better do my tax.
Dear, well, we had last week, or actually a few weeks ago now, Macworld 2008 or 2008, as I put in the email this morning, typos. The new Air, what do they call it? The MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Why didn't you wait for one of those?
Did not grab me. Well, I did. I waited to see what he'd announce.
And you didn't get one. You got one of these.
Well, I was waiting to see, because a lot of people weren't waiting for a thin MacBook. They were waiting for a small MacBook. The MacBook is 13 inches, and a lot of people are thinking, oh, you know, it's a mini MacBook, maybe about 11 inches, you know, strip out the optical drive, I don't care. Something getting towards sort of like the Asus EPC size, you know. But instead, what they came out with was a MacBook that's still just as big as the current MacBook, but a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who cares about thin? The problem is, to make it thin, they ripped out the Ethernet port. They ripped out the optical drive. They ripped out all but one of the USB ports. And there's just too many things missing from it. If you already have a lot of Macs, it will fit nicely in your Mac environment, but I don't think you'd want it to be the only Mac that you own, and even the Mac worshippers admit that.
Yeah, there were a few skeptics there, and I must admit, if you go to the Apple site, you can do it right now, go to apple.com, you can't miss it. It's the first big full-screen thing that's there on your desktop to have a look. Click through and try and resist seeing the propaganda as you go past, and go to the technical specification section, which is what I'm currently looking at the moment. The 802.11n protocol, which means apparently things go a bit faster on wirelessly on airport.
100 but, megabit, give or take, wireless, yeah.
But that's the only real I.O. you've got. Now, as you were saying, Adam, there's no hard drive in this machine. There's no CD-ROM, DVD-ROM.
Yeah, no, there's a hard drive. If you want to get
Sorry, not the hard drive, the optical drive.
Yeah, if you want to get the solid state hard drive, it's another $1,500 and it's only 80 gig or something.
And that leaves the question, but how do I get my applications onto this little sucker if I haven't got an optical drive?
It's got some software that lets you hijack an optical drive on another device.
Yeah, that's right. Another PC or a Mac. You get this little bit of spyware that you can whack on the nearest PC or Mac that you've got handy.
All your optical drives belong to us.
All of a sudden, it pops. Someone else's CD-ROM drive appears on your desktop as a mountable desk, a mountable drive.
Brilliant.
So I'm thinking, this is really good. What happens if you rock around the office? You can see everybody else's.
What if you're at someone else's workplace?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let you do that. Well, what if you're somewhere in like a secure environment where they say, okay, here's an Ethernet cable you can plug in, but we don't use wireless around here.
Yeah, and you can't plug an Ethernet cable
into
it.
What if you're trying to configure your wireless router at home? You can't do that via Wi-Fi.
Now you look on the side. It's got audio out, USB 2, up to 480 megabits per second out, and a micro
And no FireWire. It's got no FireWire.
No, I found that amazing too.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they'd have a Mac without FireWire.
Let's talk about batteries. Can we?
Has it got a battery?
Shall we?
It's the thing defies logic in respect to its physical size. Now, how many laptops? Look at the laptop battery I've got here in mine. It gives me a couple of hours worth of good solid use.
Chunky, you could club a man to death with it, though.
Absolutely. Now, this thing is wafer thin. Stevie Boy got it out of his little office Memo Note thing on the day that Mac 2008 was launched. And I'm going, it's going to last 5 minutes turned on. And how much juice does these laptops? There's three laptops on the bench here in front of us at the moment, all connected using wireless technology. And no doubt we've got our Bluetooth turned on. Everything's turned on.
Because I switch off my Bluetooth.
You're
battery.
A good boy.
Yeah, I've got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi going strong here.
You're using a Mac, that's why. But all these extra things on in your laptop actually suck the power out of your battery very quickly. Now, these guys say 5 hours wireless productivity, an integrated 37-watt-hour lithium polymer battery, whatever that is. Obviously, it's not made by Sony.
Integrated means soldered in, so you can't change it.
It's an iPhone battery.
It's an iPhone iPod battery. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So if you don't want
to, you'll have to take it down to Chinatown and get some guy to swap it on the side, like my brother did with his iPod.
Oh dear. So there you go. I'm very dubious about that because thin and batteries just don't go together in the laws of physics.
It's fine if you've got a lot of other Macs and it's just your nice little cute Mac that you take outside the office, but you wouldn't want it as your only machine.
Well, it sounds like it wouldn't be practical to have as your only machine because you just wouldn't, if it was your only machine, you wouldn't have an optical drive.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
be able to. And of course, Apple refused to put docking station ports on their MacBooks. I do not understand it because that's what I want. That's what I liked about my ThinkPad is you can get a nice docking station. You click into the docking station.
And it's suddenly like a connected desktop.
Everything. It's like a desktop. Yep. You're connected to your monitor. You're connected to your printer, your keyboard, your mouse. Just click and you're gone. A MacBook, it's like, why can't they do that? Just put a little thing on the bottom that it clicks into. I pay for it.
Okay, so a couple of months in. Any regrets?
Every now and then the screen feels a little bit small because before Christmas, I was playing around with a 17-inch MacBook Pro, and the screen on it was beautiful. I mean, again, you could club a man to death with it. It was a big computer, but it was nice. And so to come down to this 13-inch screen, sometimes I'm thinking, maybe you should go on the 15-inch MacBook Pro, but I'm trying to use things like Spaces a lot, which is the multiple desktops and stuff, to try and find a way to work that works for me. And that just takes time to get used to.
Very good. All right, here endeth the lesson. Shoot me down in flames on the forum if you like. And having said that, I am in the throes of buying a nice big 24-inch Mac for the office as well because apparently when you develop websites, you need to see them on Safari because that's a browser known only to itself as well. And we don't want to alienate the Mac users out there. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Adam Turner is here. Graham Callaghan is here. I'm here, Andrew McComb. Dr. Ron is on vacation still. You did send him the email, didn't you? Say, come in tonight?
Oh, was I supposed to do that?
Oh, is that what the problem was?
I probably replied to you and didn't get through your spam filter.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the world's most aggressive spam filter.
I know, and it works really well.
You send an email, and then the email comes back that says, who the hell are you and what do you want?
Dear, I think this discussion needs to be held off air.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am. Listening.
Residual powers. And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
Oh, in terms of the volume,
overstand to give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Phil Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometres per second was good.
That you're not expecting, even if they do a thing like
it. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the very first one for 2008. Hopefully there'll be more to come. Well, I'm sure there will be, actually. Foxtel, they're going to go high definition too. How about this, boys? Have you have Foxtel, surely, says he pointing
no,
to
No, I don't have Foxtel. Don't you? I know people who have Foxtel.
I don't have it.
I don't have Foxtel. I'll probably be getting Foxtel for a little while in the middle of the year to try out this high definition stuff so I can review it.
Yeah, well, the free-to-airs haven't got it right yet, so I don't know what no. Foxtel's going to have up a chance.
Oh, well, Foxtel's interesting. They're bringing out 4 high-definition channels, but that's on top of their existing standard-definition channels. So they're not going to take the junk picture that they put out at the moment and fix it. They're just going to add 4 high-definition channels, and then in the middle of 2009, they're going to add more high-definition channels when they get access to the new Optus D3 satellite and more bandwidth on the Telstra cable network.
Why do you say junk pictures, Adam? Not happy with the quality? The 5 meg bandwidth is no good?
If anyone's watched Optus or Foxtel pay TV on a big television, it looks terrible.
Yes,
even on an ordinary sized television. Yeah. You can see the compression artifacts.
Yeah, you can.
See.
It's like watching a download from the internet.
It is, yeah.
It's painful to watch.
Why do they do it? Why do they just treat...
I don't know, but they must have big plans for their high-definition channel because they were saying the other day, I went to the launch in Sydney, they're going to use MPEG-4... All the content will be either 1080i or 1720p native content, so they won't be upscaling stuff like the rubbish you see on free-to-air TV. And Kim Williams said that they're going to have the best-looking high-definition channels in the country.
You've just used a lot of acronyms there. I think it's time we played this.
The acronym game.
In the sequence, we have DNX HD 145, we've got DB25.
100 watts per channel times 7, HDMI switching.
It comes standard with the latest 802.11n and Bluetooth technology.
I can jump over to 30i NTSC.
JavaScript, you just write little snippets. You can declare your variables.
Giant Busters on TikTok Radio.
Yes, that's the... Wait for the violins to finish there.
I haven't heard that before.
Oh, yeah. The jargon warning. Grooga, grooga.
Absolutely. So we used some jargons there, so we had to whip in with the jargon
too
busting
much jargon.
Thing. HDMI, 1080p, you said there. Some a few other things. 1080i, that's the number.
1080i, 720p.
Yeah, that's the number of horizontal lines in a television picture. Did you know, currently, on standard definition in PAL, 726 by 576 is what we have in the 4x3 domain. Gets a little wider than that widescreen, but
that's widescreen, isn't it?
No, 1024 by 576 is widescreen.
Sorry, I got
trust
my
me, I'm working
the wrong
it
way.
Daily.
Yes, I'm messing with the wrong man.
So we thought we'd just do a little bit of jargon busting. Yeah, the other one, HDMI.
Yeah, anyone? That's that strange little cable that connects to the back of your plasma screen.
Domestic digital, as
it
I call
it. Does your video and your audio on the one cable, and it can handle high-definition digital and digital video pictures, and it can handle, I think, probably 5.1 sound
it
or
can.
Surround sound.
HDMI stands for high, HD, high-definition, multimedia interface. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
I had to look it up. I've often wondered what it meant, and I thought, well, I'm going to do jargon busting. I better look it up. And there's many flavors of HDMI too, which is...
are they not all the same?
Versions.
No, not all HDMIs are the same.
Oh. There's 1.2, 1.3, I think they're up to. Most gear in the shops, I
so
think,
what
is
happens
still
if,
1.2.
What happens if your Blu-ray player and your plasma screen don't talk the same HDMI language?
It's all backwards compatible.
I think so too. I haven't heard any bad things about it. I just think you get more things newer stuff.
1.3, they increase the bandwidth that can go through it and stuff like that.
So there you go. And 720 is like a half-hearted HD. 700. But see, there's things like I and P on the end of these acronyms, like 1080i.
Yeah,
I being interlaced.
And P's are better than I's, are they?
Yeah, P is progressive scanning.
What does that mean?
Well, if you have a look at your television set and your laptop and look at the different screens, because your TV set at home is traditionally, that's not one of the new ones, your TV set at home is traditionally an interlaced screen. That is, when back in the good old days when television was black and white and we had phosphor on a screen and they threw a little electron at it to make it glow,
ping.
If we actually drew lines sequentially, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is progressive scanning of those 720 or 576 lines, whatever it is we're talking about, by the time it got to the bottom, the phosphor at the top of the screen didn't glow as bright. So you used to get these great ripply effects of brightness and darkness going down the screen. So they decided to do, well, let's do the odd lines first and then the even lines. And that's how we had this interlaced.
So it draws every other line, then it goes and draws the ones in between.
Yeah, and that's what the eye is about. So if you go and stick your head really, really close to the television set, you can see the actual interlaced lines and the scanning there.
Now, that is why when they draw lines on the screen, when they're drawing graphics on the screen and the line is too thin, that it jumps up and down.
It looks a bit jagged.
Yeah, exactly. That's interlaced working at its worst.
Right.
And if you take the opposite of interlace, your laptop, your computer at home, your LCD screen, that's
never happens on my computer.
That is a progressive screen. So hence you can see the difference in interlaced and progressive technology.
Wow.
So there you go. And the true high definition, we have 25p, 24p and 30p are the real industry standard in production for high definition. 1080i is a domestic thing in a lot of respects.
So
that's the line.
The big numbers, the 1080s and the 570s and the whatever they are.
Refer to the number of horizontal lines.
The number of lines in the picture, but those small numbers are 30 and 24 and
25
that's
is
how many
is
pictures
the PAL
per
derivative.
Second.
Yep, 25 frames progressive. At 1,080 lines, and then for the feature films, because feature films always run at 24 frames per second, so you've got 24p, and so as a result, if you look at a feature film, they run a little, the speed is just marginally different when they get converted for television, you might have noticed.
I have noticed that.
And then you've got the equivalent fallback from the old American system, which is 30-frame television, which is 30p, 30 frames progressive.
Right.
So, and it's all dependent upon the frequency of the mains in that particular country as to what television standard they used, which is really bizarre, but that's the way it works. So any 50 hertz country, like the UK, like Australia, is 25 frames progressive, and any 60 hertz country, such as the United States, is 30 frames, and it's a good rule of thumb if you want to know what sort of television system they're running in that country, just have a find out what their power is, and you can do that on all the travel sites and stuff. So there you go, there's a bit of jargon busting. Any questions? So, you're all speechless over there.
No. This will help when we're looking at the TV ads for the which plasma to buy in the paper.
Yeah. So it's all. I don't know. I think it's a bit early days still. Yet there's some new technology coming out called the Sony OLED technology, which Dr. Ron talked
OLED.
About last year, which seems to be planning on revolutionising LCD stuff as well. So watch this space on that.
Mm.
It's all new, and I haven't seen it yet. Haven't really read much about it, but hopefully it promises big and better things. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with, what have we got coming up after the break? Oh, AOL, they're coming back. They're trying to have another go at Australia.
Oh,
how
they're
about
not,
that?
Are they?
Oh, yes, they are. We'll talk about that after the break.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Brackar going on over the other side of the panel here this evening.
But I don't have a last name.
The burning mobile phone stuck to his chest.
Their network is more expensive, but it's everywhere.
How does that compare with WiMAX?
Well, you're paying upstream bandwidth. Oh. You have to anyway.
And of course, that caused all kinds of unrest throughout the internet.
Got out of bed at 3 in the morning last week.
If only he'd used his powers for niceness
instead of evil.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Internet company AOL is making a third attempt to establish a foothold in the local market via a free internet portal, but it's already off to an uncertain start as it has failed to secure a major advertising sponsor in time for the launch. The writing is on the wall. Why would you go for a third time? Like,
why bother?
Exactly.
I mean, we'll get to it later, but Microsoft/Yahoo is just going to crush them. Why bother? AOL, like, they never really took off in this country anyway. They had to go at AOL 7, they had to go at this and they had to go at that. Apparently, they were trying to set up a deal with 10 because 9's got MSN.
It could be
in
the name, America Online.
Yeah, that could have a little bit to do with it.
Marketing department, you thought about that one really well, didn't you?
But, just don't bother in this country. Save your money. Go home.
Yes. It just leaves me speechless and things like that. When I came across the desk the other day, I thought, exactly that. Why would you even bother competing with what's on
it's
offer?
It's just in the market, so 1996 or whatever. It's just so last decade.
And I reckon their advertising person saw the light just in time too, by the judging by the sounds of all of that. So, because they've never really had a go here, as you say, AOL 7. What was that? They went across to, or Channel 7 went across to Yahoo.
Yeah, they're now Yahoo up with someone. And Microsoft with 9. Which is why there was talk that AOL was going to... Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just on delay here.
There was talk that AOL were trying to do a deal with 10. Now, if you were 10, I don't know if you want to be associated with AFL, the AOL. Do you really want to be stuck
with 10's not associated with anyone. They've stuck it out all by themselves in the wilderness out
and
there.
And they've actually... They've probably established a bit of a thing for them on their own. So why team up with them now, who are never going to be anything but, you know, fourth place in this country, if that... Web Wombat would be in front of them if they're still around.
Oh, dear. On a completely different matter, this another piece came across the desktop. Plastic bags to patch Telstra lines. And there's a lovely photo of Sol on his knees with a liney out in the field, which I thought, oh, we won't go there, but yes. I don't think... thousands of people are having their phones cut off every time it rains because of cost-cutting by Telstra. That means the lines are no longer waterproof and sometimes protected only by children's lunch bags. Now, I have a very close friend who works for Telstra, has worked for Telstra for as long as I've known him, about over 25 years. Like, if he left the company, he wouldn't have to work again with the payout if he ever manages to get the payout. And he's very much of the same ilk that since all the contractors have come in, since the company is not what it was. Now, he's a highly skilled tech who's been through everything, all the old AXE, System 12 exchanges, absolutely everything, knows the insides and outs of how the technological side of the company works. And he's so disillusioned at the moment with all the contractors and the lack of resources and stuff that's been going in. Bring back Frank Blunt is what I reckon.
This is why you don't outsource essential infrastructure. This is why you don't sell off the farm. 10 years later, someone just goes, oh, yeah, really, that's a good idea.
So, yes. Anyway, we haven't heard much of Telstra lately or the potential fibre to the node. I think everyone, Mr. Conroy, has gone a bit quiet on that. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to pull out of his stream now that Ding Dong the Witch is dead. I think I heard someone say in a promo earlier on this evening. So, anyway, save your lunch wrappers for Sol. He needs them to fix the phones. Banking. I had the pleasure of talking on the ABC earlier on this week, and we were talking about the new ANZ launch for banking. I don't know whether you've heard about this, but like... Excuse me for laughing at this, but they rang me from the production over yonder, and they said, can you come on and talk about this new whiz-bang technology, SMS banking? I've gone, what? You're kidding me, eh? Anyway, apparently February, the ANZ are going to launch a very U-Bute Super Deluxe high-tech device where you can actually get your account balance by SMSing the bank. Now, how about that, guys? Now, is that revolutionary technology just in time?
There's no...
I'm stunned.
Yeah, exactly. There's no service guarantee on SMS anyway. It's not like... It's like you send it and somewhere between now and Christmas we'll deliver it, but don't complain if it don't get there.
Yeah, you can register up to 3 accounts and you can SMS from your phone, send me my bank balance or whatever it is, words to that effect. You text to the bank and theoretically it will then text you back your account balance and a mini statement via SMS.
Minus the money you just spend on the SMS.
Yeah, no, it's a premium number you have to text. It's like 19ANZ or something, so you watch out.
It's like trying to get on the mint late at night. Even if you don't get through, we still charge you 55 cents.
Yeah, I've seen that disclaimer. On the bottom of the
I just watch it with the sound down. Laugh at it.
Dear. So there you go. M-banking is the next flavour up of ANZ. Now, this is a little bit more interesting. M-banking is a little Java applet that you download and put on your compatible mobile phone. Now, if you've ever seen little Java apps that go on your mobile phone, I used one during the course of the federal election. The ABC came out with one, which was a fantastic little applet. You ran it up on your mobile phone, and it would tell you, you know, the state of your seat and who was winning and who was losing, all in real time, which is fantastic. So the ANZ have done one of these, M-banking they call it. It's a little bit more sophisticated than the SMS. You can actually find out about 10 things on it. You can do some transactions on it.
Nothing is going to drive mobile phone viruses more than this.
Yeah, and a great little Java applet too. So, because Java, what is it? Someone explained it to me the other day. There's JavaScript, which is the equivalent of Visual Basic, I think, whereas Java is like C++, I think, as someone put it, and they just renamed it to steal the marketing rights for it so that it would take off. But that was my understanding of what Java was the other day. It's web-based. It's designed for a web browser or a mobile device or something like that. So
right once the bug everywhere, I think is what they say.
Yeah. So there you go. M-Banking is being launched by the ANZ Bank. For it. Do you guys into... You know, I think it's pretty much par for the course these days. Everyone uses internet banking.
Well, yep. Banks don't want you in their beautiful store.
Don't they?
They charge you money to go in the door. They charge you money to talk to someone.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, that's good.
People are expensive. Computers are cheap.
Yeah, they don't want scum like me in their shop. It's true. They make it very clear. They make you stand outside in the rain to use the teller machine. And then they still charge you for that privilege.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we mentioned Microsoft and Yahoo. We're going to talk about the potential takeover, the buyout, however, $44 billion or something. Yeah, that's a fair swag of pocket
money. That's a lot of
dollars. So Bill's obviously got a bit to splash around, even after all of his antitrust stuff. So we'll talk about that after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. You're with Andrew McComb, Graham Callaghan, and Adam Turner. Righto, if you haven't, if you've been under a rock for the last few days, you may have missed this important piece of news that's been floating around, and that is that Microsoft are going to pay a squillion bucks, $44 million or something like that, to be honest, to buy out Yahoo.
Billion, I think, is the
billion.
Word
sorry,
for.
sorry. Did I say million? Billion. Sorry, billion. Yes. This is going to raise a lot of questions, more probably questions than it will answer in the short term. And is it really right that this is going to happen? What's going to happen to things like the relationship between 9MSN and Channel 7 and Yahoo 7? Like, it's got going on. Adam, what's your take on all
this?
It's
going to be a mess. I think what they would have to do is, we were just saying off air that they will have to, from a consumer perspective, I think they will have to keep Microsoft and Yahoo separate. They're insane if they merge, we'll say, Yahoo Mail and Yahoo Messenger into Microsoft, because there's all these millions of Yahoo users, and they're Yahoo users for one reason, because it's not Microsoft. And you will lose these people in a heartbeat. They will just walk. Now, back end, there's lots of synergies you can get in advertising and that, which is what this deal's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
But that if they've got any brains at all, from the front at the front end to the for the consumer view, they will keep them at arm's length, and there will still be 9MSN and Yahoo 7. And to try and merge all that stuff will just be insane. And you've basically thrown away what you've paid for Yahoo, because Yahoo will be worth nothing if it's all as users walk.
Yeah.
And if all of its services are merged into Microsoft, all of its users will walk, and the, you know, the Google Borg will just rub its hands with glee, because that's where they'll go.
The Google Borg. Well, that's very valid, actually.
Google is the Borg. And so what Yahoo's doing is selling its soul to the devil in order to fight the Borg.
All the tricky references there. Look, it is going to be very interesting what happens in the next few weeks, and whether or not Yahoo accepts the offer from Microsoft to walk away from everything that has been. And
it's a lot of money. It's a 60% up on what the shares are worth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're going to come back and say we want more.
But Yahoo's been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, they're old school.
Remember Netscape? They were around when Netscape were here and all that. Yep. It's.
I remember Yahoo being the search engine of choice before we had Google.
Yeah. It was like Yahoo and Alta Vista Who.
Google turns 10 this year, if I recall.
Google are like the crocodile that survived from the prehistoric age. No, sorry, Yahoo. Are like that crocodile that survived from the prehistoric age.
So is Google a mosquito?
that killed the dinosaurs. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what happens. But even if they do take over, that raises a lot of questions just around business ethics and things like that in the commercial world. Because you look at the duopolies that we have in this country.
The European Union won't like it, I'll tell you that for nothing.
Well, no, they had problems with their open offices and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, the duopolies that we have here, you know, the Coles and Safeway's, two supermarket chains, and the two airlines that we seem to have. And the list goes on, really,
so
doesn't
this
it?
This is effectively the numbers 2 and 3 search engines merging to fight the number one. So does 3 plus 2 equal 1?
Well, that's what they're going to find out. But one of them's not going to survive without it, and it won't be Microsoft that go.
So this time next week?
No.
I think probably still will be up in the air because they'll be thinking about it. But what happened to the share prices today? Who's went which way? Do you know? I think Yahoo's would have gone up and Microsoft's would have gone down, but it'd be interesting to know by how far.
Yeah.
So maybe someone can send us the email or something like that we can talk about. But anyway, that'll be unfolding in the next few days. When we conclude the show, which is in just a few moments, the gadget, the website, and the odd spot of the week will return as per normal.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am
listening.
Residual powers. And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
Listening.
In terms of the volume,
motorists to give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio. Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600
kilometers. Don't open things with those good that you're not expecting, even if they do a thing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Tech Talk Radio wants your feedback. Call the Tech Talk Radio feedback line or visit our website and tell us your thoughts on the show. Tell us your likes and dislikes, your technical dilemmas and program suggestions. Call 1-300-664-882 and leave a voice message. That's 1-300-664-882 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, and click on the feedback link.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my own!
It's good to have the odd spot back again. This week we've got a Pyramat PC gaming chair.
Oh,
version
yes.
2.1. Of course, it has to have a version number.
So this is a chair that goes in your living room, is it?
No, it's a chair that goes in front of your computer.
It's a big sucker, like the Jason Reclined.
Yeah, it looks like the sort of chair that your manager would sit in at work. It's like a boss's office chair. It's got arms. It's got a speaker system built into it, 2.1, so it's got little two speakers behind you and a subwoofer built into your chair, which I'm not convinced is a really good idea. This scares me just a tiny bit.
There's a reason why this chair is brown.
It is. It's coloured brown. It's got an input for your MP3 player. It's got armrest mounted wheel and touch controls. It's designed for people that presumably spend many hours
in front of their game.
In front of their games. Yep.
Can you play it on a PS3 or something like that? I wonder. No?
I don't know. It's got wireless. It connects wirelessly into your.
Oh, that's good.
It's designed for PCs. It's called
Ethernet.
The Pyramat PC gaming chair. It says it's got digital wireless receiver. So I'm not sure whether that means wireless Ethernet or wireless audio of some kind.
Hopefully, it's got Ethernet.
And the little thing in the arm that fires photon torpedoes.
That's it.
Fantastic. All right, so that's the Tech Talk Radio Gadget of the Week.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
I figured that because we're actually talking about Yahoo, our website of the week, one we've had before, is the Wayback Machine, which if you go to just web.archive.org, and it takes a time capsule of every website at every particular point in time. If you type in Yahoo, the very first website that it contains for Yahoo was back in 1996 on October the 17th. And you can go back there and have a look and refresh your memory about what the very first Yahoo website looked like. So
yep.
There you go. That just gives you a bit of an indication about how long Yahoo's been around for. So the Tech Talk Radio website of the week is the Wayback Machine, web.archive.org.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Showtime. Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Telecom companies in the US have repeatedly cut off FBI access to wiretaps for alleged terrorists and criminal suspects because the Bureau did not pay its phone bills. An audit by the Justice Department found that more than half of nearly 1,000 FBI phone bills were not paid on time.
I wonder if Telstra would do that here to ASIO. Sorry, you can't have your tap because you haven't paid.
I don't suppose we'll ever be allowed to find out.
I think Sol would get a visit in the middle of the night.
But, yes, and you look at what happens with law enforcement companies, agencies in here, they have their phones tapped by themselves, which is very interesting, especially if you've been into Victorian politics of late with what's been going on now.
They get a feedback loop because they're tapping themselves.
Oh, goodness me. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the very first Tech Talk Radio for 2008, and so far I haven't the buttons have been relatively good order. We have had other technical dilemmas tonight, but you don't need to know about those. Adam, it's been lovely to see you again. It's been a while. 7-odd weeks since we've been off the wireless, and I think there's a lot of people joining to a couple of emails we've had saying it's been great to... we've missed you. Well, we're back. Hello, Mr. Graydon. Over there in Western Australia is one particular email that comes to mind, so... yeah, we're back on air. All right, next week, hopefully we will get a visit from the elusive Dr. Ron.
He's need the webcam. I got a haircut for the webcam and you didn't have it.
Okay.
That was $10 wasted.
Well, next time you come back in, I'll replenish your $10 and I'll bring the webcam in so we can do that. Yeah, we do have a webcam on the website, guys, if you want to have a look there. Not now because it's not on, but in future things, it will be there. All right, don't forget, catch the full 2 hours on the pod. And until this time next week, it's bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron Panelis, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA, and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.